Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
We got Gwynn and Chris NFL Pick'em. When we come back, take a break. See ya.
And Chris Ello.
All right, speaking of star athletes who play with wooden bats.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Playoff football at its finest this Friday night. The El Camino, what is their mascot, by the way?
The Wildcats.
That's right, the El Camino Wildcats take on the Valley Center
Jaguars.
Jaguars, the Battle of Cats will be today.
The Battle of Cats.
Tonight. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr. Chris Ello, however, is not here yet. He's technology, he's challenged technology-wise, right?
Yes, yes.
He's having a hard time figuring out how to get to this place.
Do you think he'll get mad at me if I make his carrier pigeon jokes right now? And we think that he's using a Thomas guide because he told me, I said, type it in, Chris, type it into the GPS. And he goes, I don't think it's going to take me to the right place.
So we are waiting for Chris Ello, my other half, for today. But we got a good show on tap for you tonight to go along with this this football game that's going to be pretty exciting. El Camino Wildcats, as I said, going up against Valley Center. Both teams looking to try to advance. So we'll have Coach on to talk about. We'll have both head coaches, Michael Hobbs of El Camino and Rob Gilster of Valley Center. They'll both join us at some point. We'll have Tiki Barber on the show at 4:20. He will break down this LSU-Alabama game. But I think what a lot of people want to talk about today, at least in San Diego, is the big news about the coaching staff today, Scrape. You got Larry Rothschild is reportedly going to be the next pitching coach for the San Diego Padres. Darren Balsley will remain in the organization, and he will remain as a part of this organization at the minor league level. It sounds like nothing's written in stone yet, so we're still coming up with getting up more details as we go.
What were your first thoughts when you heard about this? Because for me, it was shocking because of all the stuff that you guys have been saying on the show about how Darren Balsley is the right guy for the job, but obviously, they wanted to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, my emotions were mixed. Clearly, Larry Rothschild is more than capable. One of the better pitching coaches we have in our game as well. And you take into account that Padres have a new manager at the helm who may want a different voice. You have to respect it. For me personally, it's going to be sad not to go to the yard and see Darren Balsley. As I have for the last 3 years, and he's been here for quite some time. I think 2003 is when he was
16 years. Yeah,
he's been here for quite some time. So, but I will say this, and this may not necessarily be in Darren Balsley's best benefit in terms of financially, but being able to help have an impact on the minor league guys, those guys just got a really good one. That could possibly be helping out.
Now, do you think possibly he could be more important in the minor leagues with the young arms that are coming up? And, you know, maybe the major league job is obviously where you want to be, and that's where the most limelight is, but it doesn't really seem like that's important to him, the limelight and all that stuff at the major league level.
No, that's never been important. I think that's why there's the possibility that he, I mean, they, we know he's going to remain in the organization, but I think the big part about that, the reason why that can happen is because he loves this city so much. He wants to be here. And he wants to help. He knows this ball club is going to be good down, you know, as they start to, you know, put this thing together. This story was broken by Ken Rosenthal earlier. Kevin Acey also had something on it. AJ Cassavell has also reported on it. So it seems like this is definitely going to happen. Just maybe terms and things of that nature haven't been finished yet.
Yeah, that's what I always forget, is that when I see these reports, I immediately, for some reason, like always, my first thought is it's a done deal.
Right.
But you always remind me it's not a done deal until the team actually announces it's a done deal.
Right. You start looking on the team websites and when you start seeing it officially, and it's not sourced, that means, because, you know, the team website is not going to need to be sourced. Exactly. So, like as I said, that's the Padres still trying to round out their coaching staff. There's from what I gather, from what was been reported today, Hoffman will be back,
yes,
as well, at the third base coaching side. Rob Rojas is supposed to be in the organization in a different role of some aspect. So a lot of things starting to trickle out as we go here. So
little background while Chris gets ready on Larry Rothschild. He spent the last nine seasons as the pitching coach for the Yankees. He's been in the majors since 1986, including 1998 to 2001, when he was the first manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, and he's coached 45 playoff games. So there's some big-time experience on that side.
Ladies and gentlemen, can we please welcome Mr. Chris Ello.
I just had lunch with Larry Rothschild.
Oh, is that where you were?
Yeah, and he was running late, so sorry I came up a little.
Well, what'd you learn?
I learned that I'm not really happy with this hire. He's a very nice man.
I was going to say, that was what you guys talked about at the lunch?
Yeah. Hey, Larry, how you doing? Welcome to San Diego. No, I have no clue how to handle GPS or MapQuest or anything of the sort. So I put El Camino High School in, and I think I ended up in... I was back in Carlsbad somehow, and I knew I was going the wrong direction.
Hey,
so,
you know what's
sorry,
funny,
guys.
Is as I started to make my way here,
yeah,
I got a little bit of panicky in going through my system because it was like about 25 minutes, 30 minutes away from showtime, and I hadn't got here, and I saw the line.
Yeah,
and then I kind of took a guess, made the right turn on Wildcat Way there, got into the parking lot, asked the gentleman who was at the front, make sure I was in the right spot. And as I pulled away from him, I thought to myself, Chris is never going to find this.
He isn't. Chris went on the 78 freeway and then went south on El Camino Real and needed to go north. So that was the major problem. And then I called Scraby and I said, Scraby, where am I? And he goes, I don't know where you are.
He goes, I'm on Vista Way. And I'm like, oh, gosh, you're in Vista. And Tamarack? I'm like, I'm sorry, Chris. You gotta put it in your GPS.
None of those are familiar
to
me.
No.
You are so far away, you might as well just turn the show over to Tony. But I could not do that. I had to get back. So
so glad that you could make it.
I am so glad to be here. So glad to be here.
All right, well,
what are we talking about? Larry Rothschild,
obviously. We're talking about Larry Rothschild. What we'll do is we'll take
the fans. I tell you one thing. I did check out Twitter this morning, and the reaction to the hiring of Larry Rothschild by the fans of San Diego.
How was it?
It was about as good as my directions getting to El Camino High School would be what I would say.
Fans are not feeling it, is what you're telling me.
That's what I read. I don't know. Did you hear any different?
To be honest, I must have had my head buried all day because I did not know that the Padres had...
Oh, you didn't even know that he had hired him?
Didn't know that he had hired him.
There you
all.
Go.
So yeah. We're now that Chris is here, him and I will bounce some things off each other in terms of this hire. We're going to step away and take a break. We'll have more Padre talk for you when we come back. We'll also talk about this Charger-Raider game as well, which turned out to be a pretty good one. But nevertheless, Chris is here. I'm here. We're at El Camino High waiting for this first round playoff game between the Jaguars and the Wildcats. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
Do you want
want great guests.
We've got you covered.
Jared Dudley joining us.
It's the first time I can remember a long time. There's no really clear-cut favorite. Obviously, when it comes to the Clippers and obviously the Lakers, you could put up there. You can hedge them a little bit more. It should be one of the most interesting years in the NBA since I've been since I've been playing. I think it's more excitement for fans. I think that, and there's nothing more exciting than Staples Center and with the Clippers and Lakers right now.
I just told Thomas that the Dolphins are on a one-game winning streak and the Patriots on a one-game losing streak. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. From El Camino High School, it is our High School Friday program. Gwen and Chris with you until 7 o'clock this evening. And then high school football playoff, Valley Center taking on El Camino. We'll visit with both coaches a little bit later on. Also, Tiki Barber is going to be on the show today. And Larry Rothschild,
yes,
is apparently the Padres' new pitching coach. Ken Rosenthal breaking that earlier this morning, telling the with the Athletic that Rothschild will take over. He was just relieved of his duties not all that long ago by the New York Yankees. I think the bigger news here is that Darren Balsley is not going to be the pitching coach. I mean, that to me is the stunner here. It's not who they chose, it's who they have decided to part ways with. I mean, Darren Balsley's been the pitching coach for the Padres since I can remember practically. I mean, going back at least 15 years, Tony?
16, I think.
16,
it was, yeah.
So, I mean, that to me is kind of the real surprise here. Want to get your thoughts on that. If you want to give us a call, please do. Are you happy with this the decision, this hire? 833-288-0973. That's 833-288-0973. We'll take some phone calls on it. Like I said, the Twitter universe did not seem very pleased. The only people on the Twitter universe that I saw that were really pleased about this hire were the Yankee fans, who are glad that they don't have him anymore. Now, that's you're always going to get that, right?
Yes, yes.
Because the Yankees lost in the playoff and, you know, the whole thing. But Larry Rothschild obviously has been doing this for forever and ever and ever. So I don't think it's going to make a big difference one way or another. I mean, these guys still got to produce. These still guys still got to, you know, hit the corner. I mean, what's Larry Rothschild going to say that Darren Balsley never did say? Probably nothing.
There's probably, you know, some different philosophies maybe, but
yeah,
in terms of, you know, mechanics, I don't think that there is going to be anything different. I will say Larry Rothschild has had success with younger pitchers, and the talks that you're hearing now that Mackenzie Gore could possibly compete for a starting spot next year.
Yeah.
That would be something that would need to be at the top of the list. And he's had success with younger pitching staffs as well.
Well, if he gets Mackenzie Gore and Chris Paddock to make a major 1-2 combination at the top of the rotation, maybe they can save Ron Fowler a couple $100 million in free agency. So maybe that's what they're thinking
with this kind of hire. I don't know. Did you see some of the rumors that the coach was talking about? He was telling me about the Padres being able to, you know, some of the rumors that are out there that they would be able to bring in Rendon and Strasburg, or maybe sign a Strasburg, trade for a Syndergaard in a deal. I hadn't seen none of those rumors yet, but – man, I mean, the fact that we're even having
what happened to Mookie Betts? I mean, if we're going to get those guys, we might as well get Mookie Betts too.
Let's add him to the list.
Let's
too.
Just get everybody. Let's just bring every superstar player in Major League Baseball. They announced the Silver Slugger Awards yesterday in Major League Baseball. Why don't we just go after every single one of those guys? I don't think it'll be a problem.
Mike Trout might be tough to bring.
Yeah, I know. The Atlanta Braves had three Silver Sluggers too. So hopefully one day the Padres will be in the running for something like that. All right, we're going to get some phone calls in here. Larry Rothschild is the Padres' new pitching coach. Does this get you any more excited than any of the other coaching hires that the Padres have made here this offseason? Because I kind of get the feeling that nobody's really jumping up and down with anything on the coaching staff. Bill in San Marcos, welcome to Gwen and Chris. How are you?
How are you guys doing?
We're good. A little
well,
bit.
You know what, guys? Hey, I'm a Dodger fan, so I'm thrilled Balsley's not going to be the pitching coach anymore. I don't know how they can take a guy like Greg Maddux, said he's the best pitching coach he ever had. It's a typical Padre move. I don't understand. I think Bosley's as good as any pitching coach in baseball, and to get rid of him like that is just absurd. But that's the Padres. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you, Bill.
I honestly, on the surface, tend to agree with you, and that's why I said. I mean, I can understand. Look, you're going to change managers, okay? You changed managers. You brought in somebody that we don't know, somebody that we're really unfamiliar with, somebody that's going to have to, you know, Jace Tingler's going to have to show us, prove to us that he can get the job done. So pitching coaches, you know, bench coach is your next big hire. And they go there and they hire another name that nobody is familiar with, and so much so that I don't even remember his name, the new bench coach, the Padres.
Did they have one yet?
Yeah. You don't remember his name either, do you?
I don't remember bench coach.
They hired a new bench coach, and I don't even remember his name. And now I do know the name Larry Rothschild, but I know I'm not ecstatic about it, and I don't think anybody else is either. So
I don't know
it's
that.
It's been an interesting off season.
I
were there just rumors of a bench coach?
Yeah.
Maybe I saw rumors. I saw a name.
I promise you I'm not this unprepared.
Oh, no. Bobby Dickerson.
Yeah, Bobby Dickerson. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that was the rumor.
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. He's not the guy.
He's not official yet.
Oh,
no.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
But it looks like that's who it's going to be.
Remember, I've been on vacation for 17 of the last 21 days, and I've been driving around San Marcos and Carlsbad aimlessly today. So I have a lot of excuses to be off my mark. But
you
anyway.
Know, I on the surface, I could see how, you know, folks would feel like that.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, their familiarity with Darren Bosley, the success he's had in terms of really helping turn some guys around and guide some young guys, you know, as they came up. So, as I said, it was mixed emotions when I heard it today, because I think Larry Rothschild is a really good pitching coach. So I think, you know, when you get a new manager, sometimes that's kind of the deal. I mean,
no, it goes with it.
Darren was able to kind of get through two managers,
two or three
managers. Yeah, if you count some of the intern managers, that's kind of been his stick, and he's been able to stick through it for a little bit, but. It looks like the Padres are looking to go in a different direction, or at least a different voice.
Totally different direction, and it's going to be an all-new coaching staff, and we'll just have to see how it all works out. Right now, it seems like a big downer in town. I'm just kind of basing it on what I'm reading, what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, what I'm hearing, and I just get the feeling that the excitement that the Padres, remember last offseason, it was nothing but just upbeat excitement and everything was going awesome. The Padres were on their way. And now Andy Green gets let go. I think most people were behind that decision. But I think the decisions that have been made since then, although I have no idea whether they're going to be good or not. And that's fair to say. You can't just sit there and automatically say, I mean, Bill can say it. He's calling in from San Marcos and saying this is a dumb move. You can have that opinion, but honestly, you have to wait and see how it's going to turn out. I mean, these Jace Tingler might be a great manager in waiting, might just be the guy. Larry Rothschild might just have the perfect touch with a couple of these young pitchers, get them over the top. So, I mean, you never know that something may or may not work out, but you'd certainly have your opinion on it when you hear about it at first, and at the moment, I'm not sensing a lot of excitement.
Well, here's Darren Bosley thinks that Larry Rothschild will do great. Dennis Lynn quoted him on a tweet saying, am I disappointed? Of course, he said, but 17 years as a big league coach in one place is pretty cool. I've been treated fantastically since I've been with the Padres. He added that his replacement will do great. Classy,
that's good.
Classy as,
that's
as,
a classy
as,
thing
as,
to say.
As Darren is. That's not a surprise at all.
Yeah.
I have heard that he will remain in the organization. It looks like they haven't just figured out what role that's going to
roving pitching instructor, perhaps.
Could be.
One of those type of things.
As I said, if that is the case, those young guys are going to benefit from it greatly.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. What else do you think? Give us a call. We're taking phone calls on this right now, 833-288-0973. Obviously, we got a little Charger football to talk about last night. If you are still a Charger fan, and I know you don't want to admit it, but I know that there are some of you out there. Your season's in big jeopardy now, right? I mean, six losses, that's going to be awfully tough. If the Chargers run the table, finish 10-6, they're probably still going to need some help to get into the postseason now. So we'll talk about that loss to the Raiders last night. And Phillip Rivers with just a very strange night. Just a very strange night. I mean, it didn't look like Phillip Rivers at all.
Yeah.
He threw five interceptions last night. Only three of them counted, but he still threw five. I mean, that's crazy for Phillip Rivers.
If we're being honest, Phillip hasn't looked like Phillip Rivers all year.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of that's because that offensive line's been torn up.
Right.
Torn up.
We've seen over the course of his career, when you give him an offensive line, he will pick every defense apart.
But
when he's got to have his feet moving and, you know, nobody...
Guys in his face, he's just like any other quarterback, frankly. Like any other quarterback, frankly. All right, we're underway from El Camino High School. It is our High School Friday broadcast. Chris Ello here, Tony Gwynn Jr. there, taking your phone calls. The Padres have a new pitching coach. Give us your thoughts on this hire. Give us your thoughts on the departure of Darren Balsley, 833-288-0973. That is the number to get through. We'll get some Chris versus the fans, some trivias ahead, and then Tiki Barber on the program to talk some NFL football a little bit later as well. So you picked a good day to be with us. Relax. We'll be here till 7. Gwynn and Chris, Scraby's alongside as well on 97.3 The Fan.
Football Friday, it is, of the high school version. El Camino taking on Valley Center later on tonight. Game for, should say, round one of the playoffs. Should be a terrific...
Playoffs?
should be a terrific matchup tonight between two teams out in the North County. Chargers last night. Speaking of football at the NFL side, Chargers take a tough loss, man. They go into this game, I think we're 4-5 was their record.
Yeah.
Raiders were 4-4. Both teams needed the victory. The Raiders come out on top and are taking advantage of being at home finally after being on the road for pretty much the entire season. And the Chargers, on the flip side of that, lose a game that seemed like it was a must-have. They fall to 4-6 now, and in the AFC, that's not a good thing.
No. I mean, they're three games back of the Colts now in the loss column, and the Colts have the final wild card right now. So when you're three games behind in the loss column with only six games to play, that doesn't give you a whole lot of room for error.
It gives you almost
any room for error the rest of the way. So this Chargers season has to be considered a major disappointment. Yes, injuries are a factor, but every team has to go through injuries. I mean, nobody's going to feel sorry for the Chargers, but I just thought last night Phillip Rivers just was – I mean, I've never seen him throw five interceptions in a game. He threw three of them on the first drive of the game. Two of them got called back. I mean, it was like, what's going on? I mean, every time he threw a pass, a white jersey was grabbing the football, and I was like, well, there's something just not making sense here. And then the Chargers still come back, almost win the game. But then they can't get a stop on the final drive. No. I mean, Oakland takes it right down there, 75, 80 yards on the final drive and wins the ball game. And then still the Chargers get the ball back with a minute to play, all three timeouts. And all they need is a field goal to win. In the NFL in this day and age, that's a winning position to be in.
Yeah.
You're down 2 points. You have the ball on your own 25. And you've got a minute and three timeouts. Almost every quarterback in the NFL is going to drive his team into field goal range from that spot. You know what Phillip Rivers did in that sequence? He threw eight passes, none of which were complete, and the final one of which was intercepted. And the reason he was able to throw eight is because his fourth down pass the first time around, there was a pass interference call that gave him another first down.
Right.
But he didn't complete a single one of eight passes in a row on the final drive of the game. And I don't know if I've ever seen that from Phillip Rivers.
I was about to say,
before.
I think that's the first time I've seen him that inaccurate, throwing over the wrong shoulder on a kind of a post route there.
Yeah,
just missing on the drag route. That's like one of the routes that I don't know if I've ever seen him miss a guy.
Missing guys.
I've seen way more drops than I've seen him miss guys. But last night in those eight passes, none of which seemed to really give the receiver a chance to catch
it. There wasn't of those eight passes, the only hands that any of those eight passes touched were the hands of the Raider guy who picked it off.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At the end, the first seven just fell harmlessly to the turf. It was just not a night for Phillip Rivers, and the Chargers unfortunately couldn't quite bail them out. They had their chances. I mean, when your defense, again, you got a four-point lead. And so you know Oakland has to go all the way for a touchdown on their final possession. So the defense has to take a lot of the blame for that loss too.
I was going to say, ideally, when you know your offensive line can't pass protect, what do? You run the ball. Melvin Gordon, for the first time since he's been back, looked like Melvin Gordon.
He had over 100 yards.
22 carries, 108 yards, a touchdown. He looked explosive. He looked good. He looked like he found his rhythm. But the problem was the defense couldn't stop the Raiders.
No.
So you couldn't just keep running the ball. You had to kind of pass the ball in order to get in the end zone. And it just seemed like it just seems like right now with the injuries that the Chargers have, they have, as you said, a small room for error. They have very small room for error. And not only that, the thing that they should be able to do right now is run the football, and they can. But if the defense isn't getting stops, that kind of takes the run game away from you a little bit.
Yeah, and there's something about Hunter Renfrow that, for whatever reason, football teams like Alabama and the San Diego Chargers just don't feel ever in the guy. I don't know what it is. Honestly, did you watch him on the final drive of the game? I think he caught three passes. And every single time, Tony, he just ran to an open area and turned around. He did not run a route. He did not do a down and out. He did not do a down and in. He did not do a double move. He just ran down the field and turned around, and Derek Carr threw him the ball for 10, 15 yards a pop, and that's what moved him down in range to get set up that touchdown run by Jacobs to win the game. But Hunter Renfrow, I'm telling you, this kid's a winner. I mean, he just is. I mean, when he was at Clemson, he could go a whole game without hearing from Hunter Renfrow, but when it was time to decide the game, there he was catching the ball at the end.
He seems like he's starting to get his feet underneath him.
Yeah, a little bit.
At the NFL level. Just want a reminder, we got Chris versus the Fan coming up. Got a few lines open. Please get those phone calls in, 833-288-0973. I can't help but look at Hunter Renfrow and look at everybody else in a football uniform and then look back at Hunter Renfrow.
Right.
It just looks like everything's oversized. Nothing
fits.
It's
really easy to spot him out there, isn't it? I mean, he sticks out like a sore thumb out there.
But he can play, man. He's starting to get his feet under him.
And for some reason, I honestly think the defenses just don't take him seriously. It's like they figure, we don't even need to cover this guy. Just let him run around out there. But
Hunter Renfrow,
you better cover him.
Hunter Renfrow is the guy when you go play pickup ball at the gym.
Yeah.
He's the guy in the really short shorts, the tube socks, and the goggles that nobody thinks can play.
Nobody picks him.
But when he gets on the court, your team is always the one walking off. His team stays on.
Yeah, he's sweating. He's setting some picks. He's getting some rebounds.
Right.
He's doing whatever's necessary to help you win. Hunter Renfrow, like I said, it wasn't a huge night. Four catches, 42 yards. But it was every single time they really needed something, that's when he caught the ball.
He seemed like a chain mover, right? Like when they needed a first down, Derek Carr had no problem finding him. He was in an open spot, sitting down in a zone somewhere.
Just sitting there.
And catching the ball, no drops, no none of that. And those are the type of guys that play a long time in the NFL for sure.
Oh, he's going to be an NFL player for a while. There's no question about it. The Raiders got a nice pickup on Hunter Renfrow there. And the Chargers, can I tell you? This is going to be just one of their most disappointing seasons. I mean, they're coming off a year. I mean, there was people who had them going to the Super Bowl this year. I mean,
They're 4-6 now.
That's been like the last 3 years, though.
Okay, but at least the last three years.
Last 3 years.
Well,
I know for 2 years ago they were for sure a Super Bowl favorite.
No.
Well, yes. Last year they were.
Last year,
once they got to the playoffs, most people thought they were going to beat New England.
Right.
Everybody thought they're going to go into New England and whip them.
And they got crushed.
It just goes.
They got hammered.
And you know who hasn't been on the field for them all year?
Derwin James.
Derwin James.
Yeah, that's a big factor.
Big factor on the defensive side of the ball, for sure.
And Russell Okung went out again last night.
Melvin Ingram, too.
And what the Raiders
he
have.
He came back, though, didn't he?
Because
he had a sack.
He went to the locker room early with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, he came back, got a sack in there too.
Yeah,
so.
But the Raiders ended up with 5 sacks and 3 official interceptions. But like I said, Rivers was picked off 5 times in that game. That's just unheard of for Phillip Rivers. I mean, a lot of things have to go wrong for Phillip Rivers to get picked off 5 times in a game, and that's bad protection. That's bad route running. And that's bad quarterbacking. I mean, that's all of it together, and that's what we saw last night. And that's why that game surprised me so much.
Before we go to Chris versus the fans, how long do we allow these broadcasters to say San Diego Chargers? It happens.
Are they still saying it?
Howie Long said it like 3 times during halftime alone. And
I don't
Michael
watch
Strahan,
that stuff.
He called him out for it. But Troy Aikman says it, and I'm not blaming them. Rod Woodson said it on the Monday Night Football broadcast.
What do you suppose we do?
Rise up. I don't know.
Call them the London Chargers?
Like, these guys are...
Would that be better?
These guys are getting paid millions of dollars a year. Get it right. Am I the only one in this?
Yes, you are.
Really?
You are literally
Thomas,
the only one.
You're the only one in this because you are the only one of all of us who never makes a mistake. So
how did that happen?
It's certainly understandable that you would be critical of people making mistakes.
How in the world did that get turned on me?
Certainly, I can understand you being critical of making mistakes because you don't know anything about that.
In every single game. It happens in every single time that the Chargers are playing.
Maybe in the minds of everybody just really thinks they should be in San Diego still. I don't know.
Are you saying you watch every single Charger game?
I mean, I've at least seen every single Charger game this year, at least pieces of it.
And they all said San Diego in the pieces that you've seen.
Yeah, I've seen San Diego quite a bit this year.
I will say this. There's not too many people when Jared Goff drops back to pass that call him the St. Louis Rams.
No.
Exactly.
No.
You just made my point.
But I think that's a large part due to the fact that...
That they were L.A. before.
They were L.A. before, and everybody remembers that.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. But you don't seem to have that same problem with the Rams that you do with the Chargers. But the Chargers, hey, look...
I'm not losing sleep over them calling them San
Diego. No, I'm not either.
The Chargers are having a lot of problems that the Rams aren't having. In the stands, in the stadium, on the field, you name it, they've got issues. It's not working out right now. For the Lightning Bolts, so
the Lightning
too
Bolts.
Bad, too bad.
Hang with them.
I'm really hang with them because we're not gonna feel sorry for you.
All right,
anymore.
Let's it's time for a little Chris versus the fan. Let's get it.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
If there was ever a day to take me down, today is the day.
Scraby. Give us the rule.
You have to make it through 3 questions. Each question's going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, you have the chance to move on to the next question or win. We have a new wrinkle to the game today. I have audio questions.
Oh.
2 of them.
Audio questions?
Yes. So
Thomas,
by
audio question, do you mean the audio is asking the question?
You're going to ask the question, and you're going to play. You're going to
play. So you have audio for our question.
You're going to play an audio clip, okay. And then you're going to ask the question that I put into the grid.
Wow. Sounds good.
Thomas,
are you sure you want to risk this, Scraby?
I personally pulled the clips.
All right. Everybody.
All right.
Put your seatbelts on. Let's see
everybody.
What goes here we go. All right. Who's our first contestant?
It's on the top of the dock, but we have...
It's on the top of the dock. All right.
Pete from La Mesa.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, Pete. Welcome back, man. It's been a while.
In Scraby, we trust.
Thank you, Pete.
Wow.
Don't... All right, here we go. Let me... My screen is taking a little bit of time to pull up. Give me a second here.
I just put my computer in meatballs.
All right, here we go. What is the name of the play? Excuse me. What is the name of the play-by-play broadcaster in this clip?
Three man rush, and Young stumbles on the way back and fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Holy
mackerel.
That was John Madden.
Can you play that again for us? Is it possible to play it again?
I would say no.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, well, there's only one Owens I can think of, so I guess I will guess.
Wait, no, Pete, I think you misunderstood the question. Who is the play-by-play broadcaster in the – who's the
correct
voice?
Yeah, and that's why I was going to ask to have it played again, but that's okay. The only – you know, the only thing I can think of is Lon Simmons.
Going with the San Francisco area guy. I think that was a national broadcast.
I'm thinking Terrell Owens.
I'm going with Pat Summerall.
This is off to a terrific start, Scraby.
Chris is right. It's Pat Summerall.
And okay. John Madden jumping in at the end.
Thank you, Pete.
Thank you, Pete.
Thanks,
sorry,
Pete.
Okay. Sorry, I just crushed your dreams.
All right, here we go. Next contestant is Eddie from La Mesa. Eddie, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Friday, man.
Ooh, mahalo. Mahalo, Chris.
Mahalo. Here
hey,
we go.
Eddie.
Hello.
First question.
Hello. Hello.
What's going on?
If John Gruden says knock on blank for me, what is the blank?
Can you repeat it again? Repeat, please.
Yes, here you go. Here you go. If John Gruden says knock on the blank for me, what is the blank? What is the word?
Out of my head, I don't know. I didn't see that one.
Knock on my head.
My head is incorrect.
Not on my head.
Here, once again, Eddie, and this is not your
this
fault
is not a bad
all.
Question. This is
yes,
not a bad
is.
Question.
You've,
this is
you've not a bad phrased question. It completely wrong.
How did I? How else should I ask that?
I'll tell you. I'm going to tell you right now how you should
Chris,
have asked
Chris, break it down for him, please.
When John Gruden says, knock on blank if you're with me, what is the blank? Because that's what he says. Knock on wood if you're with me. Not knock on wood
for me.
For
you know,
me.
This is also
it's
a story
knock on
that's
wood
part of every
if
Raiders
with
broadcast.
Knock no, it's not. If you watched Hard Knock like we all did, the saying that John Gruden had all throughout the entire show was, knock on wood if you're with me. And that's what you just heard that over and over and over again. Eddie, sorry, man. You've succumbed to Scraby again.
Thanks for competing. Let's move to the next contestant.
Look at how mad he is right now.
Jason,
he is
human. These are great questions.
Jason from PB.
These are great questions.
Jason, welcome to the show, man. Happy Friday.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, happy Friday.
Here we go. First question.
What's going on, guys?
All right, let's go, Jason.
This one actually is coherent here. What high school did current 49ers GM John Lynch attend?
Now, that's like a real question, phrased correctly.
Mission Bay.
Mission Bay.
Mission Bay is incorrect.
I'm pretty sure while I was driving around looking for El Camino High School today, I drove by this school because I visited just about every school in the North County trying to get here today. Torrey Pines.
Torrey Pines is correct.
Sorry.
Sorry
about
that. We will move to the next contestant.
Jason.
It's just nice to have a guy who can actually get these questions right because I struggled in your absence.
I mean,
I was going to ask, how did Gwen versus the fans go?
It wasn't
in general.
Put it this way, Scraby didn't have to do as much work putting up questions because we weren't going through as many. All right, let's move to the next contestant, Brad from Rancho Bernardo. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Friday.
Hey, boys, how are you? I've known all those. So far.
Good.
See,
because right.
They're good questions.
That's a
yeah.
Oh, brother.
He said, yeah.
But hey,
but
Brad,
knock on
wood if
wood,
you're with
boys.
Me, man.
I'm knocking on wood, boys. Knock
right.
on wood.
Here we go.
Hit the desk.
First question. Kirk Cousins signed a deal with the Vikings before last season. What was different about his contract?
What was different about his contract? It was guaranteed for longer years.
We're going to give it to him because he's guaranteed. He's guaranteed. He's guaranteed. He's guaranteed. Move on.
He had to give it to him because as he heard the question out loud, I think he thought to himself, oh, that's kind of confusing.
Yeah, it's confusing. Nice work by you, Brad, to sort through all that.
Nice work,
Good
Brad.
Good job.
Yeah. Here we go. Second question. We have audio for this question. What NFL team plays this song after they score a touchdown? All right.
What NFL team?
What NFL team plays that song after a touchdown?
This is a pure guess. Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay is incorrect.
Well, you're in luck because I'm going to make a pure guess as well. I have no idea. Patriots.
That was worse than Tampa Bay.
The Patriots is wrong as well. Brad, you move on to the last and final round.
Who was it?
It was the Packers.
Who was it?
Oh, the Packers? Yeah. I honestly didn't know that. Never heard.
Just want to bang on these drums all day.
Did they play that song in L.A. last week after they scored their touchdown?
They might as well. Yeah. I tell you what, only reason why I knew that is because I've attended a game, one game in Green Bay.
And you remember hearing it.
I remember hearing it. All right, here we go.
What a good audio question that was.
Oh, my God.
So good.
Brad, did we even talk about the prize today?
It doesn't matter.
No, we have not.
Brad's playing for nothing.
Yes, we have.
No, you're not, Brad. No, you're not.
You're playing for a pair of tickets
to
see.
San Diego Chargers.
No, the San Diego State Aztecs. There's no more San Diego Chargers.
Yeah. Despite what Troy Aikman thinks.
All right, here we go. Question number three. Retired NBA player Jason White Chocolate Williams was a high school basketball teammate of which Hall of Famer? NFLer?
Really? Jason Williams, high school Hall of Famer would be.
That's how I Google too.
It's got to be a running back. It's not. It's going to be NFL player. I'm on the car, so let's see. It's.
All right, give me an answer.
Walter Payton.
Walter Payton is incorrect.
That was a good guess, though. It's better than my guess because I don't know who Jason Williams went to high school with.
This is something I thought you would know.
Yeah. It's one of those ones that I've heard before, and I remember that Jason Williams went to high school with somebody famous, but I can't possibly think of who it is. I'll say Jerry Rice.
Rice is also incorrect.
All right, Brad, you're a
Brad,
winner.
Brad, congratulations. You're going to watch the Aztecs
Thank
play.
Thank you, guys.
You guys both made picks of guys that were generations ahead of Jason.
Oh, really?
Randy Moss is the correct
Randy
answer.
Randy Moss.
Yes. Well, Brad, you got those tickets. Hang on the line. We'll get Thomas on the other end. He'll take care of you.
Did Randy Moss ever make it out of Bristol, Tennessee? By the way,
he did. He got to Bristol, Connecticut just in time for the show.
That was so funny.
That was hilarious.
That was hilarious.
Got a few minutes left before we have to go to break.
Did you watch Kawhi last night?
I did watch Kawhi.
I mean,
that's the first time I've watched a Clipper game from start to finish in my entire life.
I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched the fourth quarter. And first of all, I was amazed at that Simons kid for Portland, who's 19 years old, who scored 15 points in the fourth quarter. And I'm thinking, I was like, where are these kids
coming from?
It's unbelievable how good they are.
I remember him because he went to that IMG Academy.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I remember
him. It's just incredible how good that kid is for 19 years old. But Kawhi Leonard, I mean, for him, had a terrible game. He was like 5-for-20 shooting. He had 6 turnovers.
And
then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, he did everything right.
He load managed through 3 quarters and then turned it up.
Yes, the injury. I think his tendon loosened up by the fourth quarter. Yeah. I guess it was what it was. And Montrezl Harrell. He's looked like a force since last year,
since taking over that starting position. He's been a game changer for them. Obviously, Kawhi in the fourth was just – he was unstoppable.
And Lou Williams comes in and knocks in at 3. I mean, that shot, he took that shot right in front of Doc Rivers.
Yeah, you can't –
he was so far from the basket.
You cannot stop Kawhi because his footwork and his mid-range game is as good as anybody that ever played his game.
And he even got called for traveling once.
He did.
On that in the fourth quarter.
I got to give the NBA some credit early in the season. They've been pretty tough on the travel this
year. Yeah, it'll go away.
That's what they say every year. We got to step away, take a break. 4 o'clock hour on the way. We got some head coaches from both teams later on in the show. Jam-packed. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.